Our subject this morning is going to be the conflict of the ages. And the problem of evil, has baffled the minds of the greatest philosophers and theologians since the beginning of time. And in the scripture, in fact, the books of Job and Ecclesiastes are but a record of the same perplexing subject. And in looking at this, I was thinking about last week where we saw that it was some 2,500 years between Adam and Moses, and man didn't have the Ten Commandments for the first 2,500 years of existence on earth. And there's something else about that that's a little bit strange. There in Job, you know, when Moses came back from Midian and he began to write, he didn't write Genesis first. Wouldn't you think that if he was going to write, that the Lord would have had him write in the beginning? But no, that's not what happened. He wrote Job first. And it was 2,500 years before man had the book of Genesis in his possession. Why was that? Why did he write Job? Well, Job is a microcosm of Scripture. And even today, a student that's studying the Scripture had better have an understanding of Job, because it's a microcosm of Scripture and man in general. Job had a lot of trouble. And it wasn't for his own doing. Satan was involved in that. And so we go through the story of Job and his troubles. His friends come along with a lot of worldly advice that we find out is not right. And in the end, he prospers greatly because of the Father in heaven. And so that's a microcosm of Scripture. What is the conflict of the ages? It's the conflict of good and evil. We find this theme of good and evil even in Genesis and Revelation. The same problem exists. It is a problem that has plagued the mind of any one of us at some point in our life. It simply does not go away. It has been a perennial theme for students, philosophers, and preachers alike. And an interesting point is, it should be noticed, that while we all have our problem concerning the origin, the nature, and the beginning of evil, there is no such problem with good. Do you ever notice that? Good is given a break as to its origin, unlike evil. It, for some reason, elicits less scrutiny than evil. Now, opinions concerning evil range from, one, that which regards God as the creator of all things, therefore the author of evil, and or the creator of evil, and not merely as a penalty for sin, but evil in its moral aspects. But then to the other extreme, we find total denial that evil even exists at all. The problem is further exacerbated by the fact that what was good for Israel, for example, under the law may be evil for a believer under grace today. So same situation, one's good, one's bad. Well, what does Scripture say? And as you know, we always have got to go back and find out what it says to know what is true. In reference to the many extremes and the complex opinions that have no validity, we must go to Scripture for direction. So first, some simple statements of fact I would point out. In the creation story, good occurs in the record of creation many times. God created the earth, it was good. The seas were good. Grass was good. Seeds were good. The herbs were good. Sun, moon, stars, good. Whales, all good. The fowl, the cattle, they are all said to be good. Except specifically with regard to man. Man doesn't, it doesn't say specifically that he is good. Evil, on the other hand, does not occur once in the record of creation in Genesis. Evil is introduced into the narrative of Genesis where man, a moral agent, is being tested. Well, what does this imply? Well, I'd like to point out three things for your thinking. Number one, the fact that good can be attributed several times to creation without the necessity of evil as a foil teaches us that good is positive and not dependent upon evil. Example, darkness is the antithesis of light. But light is positive and does not depend on darkness. This concept seems to be collaborated by Einstein. He says there is no such thing as darkness, only the absence of light. It is therefore this in Scripture is an adjective dividing, it is a descriptive term, good. We know in God there is, he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Good, therefore, is not a relative term, but a positive one, and it's an adjective. The second thing is, notice in the Scripture of everything evil is unknown. It is not until man is called upon to choose does evil come into play. Not until desire leads to action does evil emerge. The tree of Genesis in Genesis 2:9, it is not called the tree of good and evil, but the knowledge of such. It is the knowledge of good and evil. It was not good or evil tree. And the knowledge did not reside in the tree itself, but was in man's reaction to the prohibition of it. The whole question revolved around the choice of man. So, surprisingly, there's no such thing as good or evil. Good or evil as such cannot be created. Good things or evil things, yes. But when we deal with evil and the problem, we are not dealing with a substance that exists somewhere in the bulk or a reservoir of evil that is definitively described or hacked into from time to time. Evil is a result of thought, desire, choice, or will. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21 says that it is from the imagination of man's heart, the essential nature of evil is what comes from man's heart. In the account of Adam and Eve's temptation, we find the nature of evil. Evil is something presented in such a light that it is considered to be good. It is not pursued or practiced for itself. The evil course is followed and its consequences accepted because it has made to wear false mask and appear as good. To show that, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not die. Or the question, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, with her, and he did eat. God has so constructed the human mind that it will seek that which is good. This lies at the root of life itself. Here in these scriptures, Satan has slipped the mask of good over the features of evil. And that is the battle plan actually of principalities and powers today? The lust of the flesh. Eve, you will not die. Eve, your eyes will be opened to good. Eve, ye shall be like God. That's good. Eve, this food is good. Eve, it is pleasant to look at. And that's good. Eve, it will make you good. Eve, it will make you wise. Now, at this point, he himself, Satan, had already fallen, made perfect. And then, of course, iniquity was found within him when he said, I will be like God, good. I will be like the Most High. Human activity and response now come into play with free will. Satan, having stimulated the interest of the woman, and justified her disobedience as something good, has touched the inner springs of action and can The rest can be left to occur on its own. She saw that it was good. She perceived that it was good. He tricked her into thinking that it was good when God said no. You see, once evil can be made to appear good, sin will inevitably follow. That's the battle plan foisted on all of humanity, even today by principalities and power. We see it in our own culture continuously. I'm amazed at how bold and upfront it is even today. Hey man, if you will use this dangerous drug, you will feel good. Hey girl, prematrimonial sex, it feels good and it's good. Ending in broken homes, abortions, AIDS, etc. Hey, society as a whole, cohabitation is good. Why? Well, it saves money, you know. It's a good thing. Hey, society, no censorship is good. Freedom of speech, foul languages, everything on top of that. Or how about take God out of everything? It will be good. Not to offend someone. Cheating is good, etc., etc., on and on and on. It's good. Disguised. Therefore, body, soul, spirit, and mind, man is assailable whenever evil can be made to appear as good. But the consequences will be sin. The perfect example, of course, is what we saw. Eve was beguiled by Satan there in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord said, "What is this, Eve, that thou hast done?" And she said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Evidence of that. You want to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read about that clear up in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through this subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, Adam was not, surprisingly. Turn over to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 14. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was the transgression." Adam was not deceived, he was just stupid. One might say that Adam knew what he was doing, and therefore the argument as to the essential nature of sin breaks down. "But Adam took of the fruit of the tree, knowing that Satan had dressed up evil to appear good." He was not beguiled, according to what Timothy says, or deceived. He knew what he was doing. And that makes it even worse. Genesis 3:12, he said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. The most common thought is that Adam was shifting the blame unto Eve, being that he was not beguiled by Satan. However, he was deceived by his own thought process as to what was good. He knew that by Eve's act of disobedience, that she was already separated from him by sin, which would involve death. It seemed good or better to Adam to perish with the woman he loved rather than to live on in solitude and grief. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And that's the way it is even today with these principalities and powers that are foistering these ideas upon our culture, upon us individually. It seems like a good idea at the time. It's not necessarily evil. It's just stupid. By refusing, Adam would have remained alive, but in doing so, death entered for the human race because the sin of one was in the blood of male, thus the need for the virgin birth. In conclusion, let me just say this. Adam's action but confirms the fact that man's choice to act counter to that which God has created as good brings about evil. And the devastating choice is always considered to be good until the consequences are known, and in this case, it was death. Now, the skeptic, you got to be prepared. The skeptic says, oh, well, what about Isaiah? What does Isaiah say? Well, turn over to the 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah. It's on page 989 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 45. Chapter 45, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. What about that? Well, you always have to look into Scripture a little bit deeper because translations are based on human activity and there's typically errors made from the original. And in this case, we're looking here in the Hebrew at what is known as the poil participle of the verb bard, which is create. And in that same chapter, it's quoted three times in verse 8, verse 12, and verse 18 as being rendered create. But in this particular case, they've made an error, and it should be translated bring about rather than create. Now, when you get the concept of bring about, and by the way, if you have a Companion Bible, that's explained there in the notes on the right-hand side there. But that little error gives the skeptic something to argue about, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But as soon as you see that error, it lines up with every other instance of Scripture. And in that same chapter, the other three translations of the word barb. So it helps to study to show yourself approved, growing in the grace and the knowledge of Him. And we learn that there's no such thing as good and evil. There's no reservoir of good or evil. That good and evil are good, evil things created by God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We're thankful that You are mindful of us. We're thankful for the good, Your Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful for the written word. Thankful for the understanding that can be is thereby. Pray that we will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You, and that we all may be rooted and grounded in Your good love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.